The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning. Today on Pointing You Home, your number one local real estate news resource, we'll talk with Jackie DiCarlo from Montgomery County's Manna Food Resource. Stay tuned for more. Hey, if you leave us in the middle, don't worry. You can listen to any of our shows on your favorite podcasting app at your convenience. Right now, let's jump into some local news that matters to you.
The Capitals have won it! The capital of the country is the capital of the hockey playoffs. The Washington Capitals, for the first time in their 44-year history, are the Stanley Cup champions.
The Caps won, folks. Oh, my. What a great parade this past week. And I love it. 44 years, I've been playing ice hockey since I was about 9 years old, and that was when the Caps first came to the Capitol Center. And I remember going and playing the Capitol Boys there at the Capitol Center on Saturday mornings and getting a chance to watch the Caps when I was a little kid. And then to finally see them accomplish this amazing goal, I think we all give a hurrah to our great Caps here in Washington, D.C.
They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
In Rockville, the town center, there is a parking lot. If you're familiar with downtown Rockville, there's a Starbucks, and right across the street from the Starbucks is an open parking lot. And this is under consideration for the Rockville Science Center's permanent home. We have the Maryland Science Center in Baltimore, which if you've never been to, I highly recommend. It's a great day trip. It's something I took my kids to many times, and they learned how to spool DNA, believe it or not, at the Maryland Science Center. But this Rockville Science Center is going to bring together a group of science experts as well as science lovers in a potential permanent location. We hope that they can accomplish that. The more infrastructure we can provide that draws folks to want to come in to our towns for long-term visits, including all the museums that we have in Washington, D.C. Why did we come out as the number one destination across the country this year? I think a lot of it has to do with we have so many great places to visit. Obviously, we've got a great sports team as well. Did you know that D.C. is among the top five large U.S. cities with a slow-growing rent? D.C. rents were only up about 2% this past year after a pretty sizable increase over the past 6 years. Some places, though, like Odessa, Texas, and Midland, Texas, saw their rents rise by 35% in the last year. Why? Well, oil. Oil has been booming. You know, prices of oil have jumped from $26 a barrel in early 2016 to about $65, $72 a barrel, depending upon what week you buy it. So Odessa, Midland have been very hot. Places like Reno, Nevada, and Las Vegas, Nevada, places that were decimated during the Great Recession, where they saw their real estate values drop by over 63%. Now, they're just shy of their all-time highs, and the demand for the location is strong. Yonkers, New York, for all of those New Yorkers listening, 12.9% increase. And if you're heading to Hollywood, Florida, up 8.5%. 8.5% this past year. Some relevance here. Manhattan, for a basic apartment, it's $4,000 a month, and that would be the same apartment here in the D.C. area that would cost you $2,000 a month. If you head to Atlanta, $1,300 a month. San Antonio, only $993. So it all depends on where you live, right? Okay. Hey, I'd like to introduce a wonderful guest. Her name is Jackie DiCarlo. Jackie is the CEO of the Manna Food Center, which is located right here in Montgomery County, Maryland, and services the area. It is one of several food banks, and we're glad you could join us. I've always had some questions I've wanted to ask you about how you operate, how you're able to the logistics work, those kinds of things. I'm sure those listening, regardless of whether you're Maryland, D.C., or Virginia, we're all curious about it. How do food banks work? Jackie, good morning.
Good morning, Eric. And I appreciate your interest, especially because your family's been in our warehouse volunteering. So you know it is quite an operation. We have about 12,000 square feet. But we are using that and a range of satellites around Montgomery County to reach, last year we reached 32,183 folks with good food and services related to promoting healthy eating and healthy cooking skills. Because we want everybody in Montgomery County to have enough food to eat so they can have fulfilling lives, just like your family has and my family has, and also so they can contribute to the quality of life here in Montgomery County.
How many pounds of food, I don't know if you've ever considered this, do you move on a daily or weekly basis?
You know, on a daily basis, it can be as much as 9,000 pounds of food because on average, we have about 125 to 150 families turn to us. Either they come to us in Gaithersburg where our warehouse is, or they go to one of our partner sites. For instance, we're up in Glenmont at a Methodist church. We drop off at low-income housing locations. So no matter where we are, it's about 150 people a day.
Tell me, how is it compared to 5 years ago when you first started as CEO?
The good news is we're making progress. The economic recovery is definitely helping a lot of folks, but there are still pockets of poverty that go unnoticed. Mm-hmm. Some parts of Montgomery County, the poverty rate is still 20%. And so we're not only giving food to families who live in those neighborhoods, but we're also in the school system. We mm-hmm. have a program called Smart Sacks, and kids who rely on free or reduced price meals, mm-hmm. we make sure that they go home every Friday with a sack of healthy food items, ingredients mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. their mom or grandmom can use to cook over the weekend. So on Monday, they return to school ready to achieve.
Okay, that's a lot of people that you're serving.
Yeah.
And how big is the operation? How many people are employed and work each day?
Yeah, we have about 30 members of our team. Most of those folks are full-time. We couldn't do the work, though, without volunteers because we need folks to come in as individuals or families to help us sort food, pack boxes. We also have corporate groups that come in. It's great team building for a business. And then we have students doing SSL service. We have food drives all over the county. So if you added up all of the volunteer hours, that would be another 35 people. So wow. I always joke that the volunteer manager is actually a more important person than I am because she makes sure that we have enough people to do the work. The community really makes Mana Food Center possible.
Okay. How many trucks are you running now?
We have 6 trucks that leave the warehouse every morning around 6:30 mm-hmm. to pick up. They go to grocery stores and they rescue food that would otherwise go to waste. Mm-hmm. They're also, especially at this time of year, picking up on the weekends a couple of those trucks at farmers markets. So we have a great program with local farmers markets. We also have a new vehicle called Manny. Mm-hmm. She's a mobile kitchen and pop-up pantry. We took a retired school bus, gutted it, and put a commercial kitchen inside so that we could go to those areas of high need that I mentioned mm-hmm. or those schools where kids really need to learn skills about healthy cooking and eating. Mm-hmm. And we teach them how to eat in ways that get them excited about healthy cooking. And it also serves as a pop-up pantry. So in June, we're going to be going to certain congregations in the East County and opening up our doors, and people will be able to come in and choose off of the bus fresh produce and other items that they want.
So you're teaching them how to cook?
Yep, we are. We're doing that. And at the end of this month, in a partnership with Silver Spring United Methodist, we're mm-hmm. cutting the ribbon on a new community kitchen. So we're going to be using that to teach people good cooking skills. And we're going to be taking some of the food that would otherwise go to waste and process that. So, for instance, if we get a pallet of tomatoes, might be a little smashed, you wouldn't want to serve that to somebody just as is, mm-hmm. but we could turn it into tomato sauce mm-hmm. and then share that with Shepherd's Table or Bethesda Cares, one of the soup kitchens. So we're really just trying to make sure that nothing goes to waste so that we can feed more and waste less.
So you just mentioned other resources, mm-hmm. Bethesda Cares, for instance. Mm-hmm. How do you operate with them exactly? You're actually providing them with the food that they would cook and prepare and then serve within the soup kitchen?
As an addition to what they already receive from their donor. So we kind of trying to make sure that we share whatever's out there. We wouldn't want food to come to us and us not be able to put it to good use.
Good for you.
So we have this network of about 55 or so agencies that we help connect with surplus food. And another way the community helps with that is that we actually have volunteer food runners mm-hmm. who use technology that's available on the phone. They can get a text alert that says, hey, we've got some food left over at, say, this graduation party. Could you take it over to this soup kitchen on Goody Drive? And people load up the food in their cars or SUVs and take it from point A to point B.
So I've always been curious, when you have food like that, you can't sell that food.
Mm-mm.
You can give that food. And there's no prohibition against giving food. Is that right?
If it's been served, there is. So, but, you know, a lot of times caterers, for instance, will have overage. They'll have a pan of lasagna that nobody touched.
Right.
And that we can definitely get it to somebody who needs it, or we can freeze it for a while and pass it on in a few days.
You know, there are listeners now who might even want to get involved, might want to consider how they could receive a text and serve, maybe with all the graduation parties going on right now. What would be the best way for them to find out more information about how they could either maybe donate or serve in some fashion?
Yeah, we would welcome people coming to our website, manafood.org, or following us on Facebook. And we try to get as much up-to-date information. For instance, donations, it says, you know, click if you want to help. And then there's lots of different ways. You can give food. We take food donations. You can give funds. We need money to pay for those trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a friend. You can volunteer.
Are there any sister organizations you might recommend that are in Virginia and in Washington, D.C. to the listeners who are listening today?
Well, we're very fortunate. We do have a regional partner called Capital Area Food Bank, and they serve Northern Virginia as well as here in Montgomery County and the district. In Northern Virginia, as an example, there's another agency called the Arlington Food Assistance Center. We work closely with them, Food for Others. Mm-hmm. So there's no dearth of agencies doing the right thing, and you can help them out.
Fantastic. Again, to find out more, go to
manafood.org.
Manafood.org. And Jackie DiCarlo, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. We're so grateful that that Jackie and the volunteers, as well as those who are employed, and those who donate to serve those who are really more needy and maybe can't provide for themselves through economic resource, that we can come together as a community. And that's what makes our community special, and one of the things that draw people to live in this area is the quality of care. So we thank Jackie and Mana Food Center. We'll be right back with more of Pointing You Home.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL.
Welcome back. I'm so excited to report on some of the experience we've had in the market this spring. Maryland, D.C., and Virginia has seen robust demand for real estate, prices up 3.6%. Put a home on the market in Vienna, Virginia for about $800,000 and was able to generate a full price contract within a couple of weeks. Very excited. Solid contract and will close within 45 days. Also have another property that is on Monarch Lane that we put up for $575 and got it under contract within 2 weeks as well. That's in Virginia. We're just seeing good demand within the marketplace, and we're seeing good buyer call-ins. In fact, we're currently working with, and this is, again, the Eric Stewart Group at Long & Foster, we're currently working with several thousand buyers who are contacting us, communicating with us, and we are feeding them daily on opportunities as they become available. So we're poised to bring a property like yours to the marketplace and share that information. And what's really important for you as a seller, if you're selling real estate, is to know that it's not just the buyers that I've got, but it's all the buyers, right? It's really about every buyer from every company to know that your property exists. Because I'll tell you a quick story. When I was 18 years of age, I rode my bicycle from Santa Cruz, California to Bethany Beach, Delaware. I had graduated from college a few days before, and I'd put my bike on the bottom of a Trailways bus, and my mom and dad said goodbye at Silver Spring Station, and I took the bus for 3 days all the way across the country. Got out, got on my bike, met two friends there that I had backpacked with, and one I'd climbed Mount Rainier with the summer before, and we biked, and we just biked and biked and biked, and biked up into Palo Alto from Santa Cruz, and then across and into Nevada, through Winnemucca, and into Utah, and Arches National Park, and all the way up to Vail, and through the Vail Tunnel, although we couldn't ride through the tunnel, we had to catch a ride, but anyway, we got down to the bottom of the tunnel, and my friend went on to Denver to visit his family, and Tom and I, this other guy and I, we stayed in a small town at the bottom of the hill of Berthoud Pass, which is a tremendous pass at 10,000 plus feet. Well, we got split up with that day because these guys went on ahead of me. I was helping a lady fix her car, and I ended up riding my bicycle back up to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and they went across Nebraska. And if you know, in 1982, when this occurred, we didn't have cell phones. I had no way of reaching them, had no idea how to connect. So I pulled into Jackson Hole a few days after we gotten split up, and I parked my bike in front of a general store, and I climbed the steps up, and there was an older guy there in a rocking chair just, you know, chawing away. And he said, "What you doing?" And I said, "I'm riding my bike across America." And he said, "Oh, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, it's been incredible. Everybody's been so nice to me. They've been so kind to me. And I've just enjoyed it. It's exactly what I dreamed America would be." And I said, "What do you think?" He said, "You want to know what I think?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, go get a piece of paper." So I trotted back down the steps, and I grabbed into my pannier, which is what you call a little backpack on the side of your bicycle, and I grabbed my pen and a book that I was studying lines out of. I was going to Southern Methodist University at the time, and I was studying to be an acting major in their BFA acting program, and I was memorizing lines from Antony and Cleopatra out of an acting book, and you know, while I was riding my bicycle. But at the back of it, there was a piece of paper, you know, that had not been written on. And so I brought the book up with me, and he said, "Okay, you ready?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, put a little dot in the middle of the page." I said, "Okay." I looked at the dot, and I looked back at him. I looked at the dot. I looked back at him. I said, "Okay." And he said, "What do you see?" And I said, "A dot." He said, "Well, that's right. And that's what America focuses on. But they forget about all the white around it." You know, his point was that we're always bombarded with what's bad. The news is always reporting about how horrible things can be and are and terrible and whatnot and so on, because that's what makes the news. But we forget about what's most important in life, which is everything else around it that is so much more than what is negative. Unfortunately, if you focus on what is negative and you remain focused on what is negative, then that's all you're going to see. You're going to forget about all the white around it.
Hey, look me over, let me in here. Fresh out of Clover, mortgage up to here. But don't pass the plate, folks, don't pass the cup. I figure whenever you're down and out, the only way is up. And I'll be up like a rosebud, high on the vine. Don't thumb your nose, but take a tip from mine. I'm a little bit short of the elbow room, but let me give me some. And look out, boy, here I come.
You know, it's so important that when you are presenting yourself as a real estate agent, or you're presenting yourself as a physician, or you're presenting yourself as anything, that you present yourself in your best way possible. That you are positive focused. And when I'm presenting real estate for sale, whether the house is in as-is condition and needs to have everything completely done, or maybe even the house being torn down, or maybe the house is perfect, superlative in every way, it's really about helping people see all the white around the little bit of negative that most houses have. An effective real estate agent will understand the value, and as Warren Buffett would say, the price is what you pay, but the value is what you get. And if you're a good realtor, you'll sell the value so people will believe that the price that you're asking is justified. I think in life, it's so important that we take steps each day to remind ourselves of what is most important in life, that we look for ways to reach out to those who are around us. You know, we have a tremendous population of older adults. Oftentimes, as a young man, I wasn't really aware of the history that so many of them would tell. And it wasn't until I started door knocking to build my real estate career, and I met a lot of the men and women who served in the armed forces in World War II in the 1980s, who were now retiring at that time from their careers, that I got a chance to hear from the tail gunners and from the machinists and from the doctors and the other people who'd served during World War II. And, you know, together, they banded together to focus our eyes as a country on this light on a hill that we are as a country, America. We have an opportunity as a country to stand out. We have an opportunity as real estate agents to make our properties stand out. We have to take this opportunity, and I'm just so happy that I have the chance to bring stories like this to you on a Sunday morning. I'm grateful. grateful to God for his provision every day. Last week I was in class at church, and Mr. K, one of the teachers, was talking. Now, Mr. K is in his 80s. He grew up near a town called Philippi. Now, if you remember, in the town of Philippi, there was a guy named Paul, and he came to visit Philippi. He visited it, and 10 years after he visited it, he wrote a letter called Philippians, which is in the New Testament, if you're familiar. And he talks about how he's in chains. And yet, in spite of the fact that he's in chains, you know what his focus is? It's not on the chains that he's wearing. He's focused on what's most important in his life, which is the people around him and caring for those people. I was so stirred, I actually was brought to tears. It reminded me how much I'm given to complaining, how often I focus on what is negative versus what is positive, focusing on what's all the white around and not just the dot on the piece of paper. So as you go through your week, this week, as you consider the difficulties you may be facing, I just want to encourage you, as I was encouraged and as I was reminded many years ago, and as I'm employed to do in my business, to focus on what's good and what's pure and share that light, shine that light. Okay. Hey, if you're listening to today's show, something sparks a question in you that you'd like to ask me, I want to encourage you to send me an email at radio@ericstewartgroup.com. It could be anything about your real estate. It could be about mold, lead paint, termites, the condition of a property, the swales, the power lines. It doesn't really matter. After 30 years in the business and about 3,000 homes sold, I've handled a lot of challenges, and I know I could help you too, even right here on this show. Oh, and don't go away, because right away, we're going to jump into talking about the opportunity that we have to see the potential in older adults. That's Senior Solutions, straight ahead on WMAL.
The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.